Hey, I'm excited that you're here, that we're here, that we get to serve people this summer. You are at the start of the 48th summer of camp. Those of you that want to make it for two more years, you'll be here for our 50th, which I imagine will be a big deal. I don't know. I really didn't plan on being here by the 50th, so I'm not sure. Not planning for it. I mean, I was, now I am, but I wasn't back then. Maybe. We'll see. We'll have a Swedish party, I'm sure. Of some sort. This summer, I'm going to talk to you about order matters because order does matter. And so all summer when I get to speak to you, I'm going to talk about order. And some of you may not actually understand that, but it's really very critical in life. A lot of the problems you face is because you know what's right, but you do them out of order. And since you do it out of order, you don't get it done. And it's really important that you understand that. In other words, the simple one in Scripture is, you know, if you love God, you keep His commandments. It's not the other way around. It's not if you keep His commandments, you love God. And it never will work that way. So what I'm going to be talking about all summer is the importance of switching the order in your brain of what you do. Because what you want in Christianity is something that's real, not something that's manufactured. And if it's going to be real, it has to be in the right order. And you'll see that hopefully throughout the summer. Those of you here for the whole summer. Those of you that aren't, all of these will be recorded. You go back and get them if you want, if you're interested in it. And we'll go from there. So let me pray, and we'll get into it this morning. Father, thank you again for your love and for this time together. I thank you for each of these individuals. I pray that you'll work mightily in their lives this summer, or however long they're here, to show the world who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple quotes. I enjoy quotes. The world is not to be put in order. The world is order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with this order. Now, if I quote a guy, I may not like everything he says, but he said something intelligent at one point. And in this case, it's real simple. The world has an order. If you look at it, it's not random. There's a sunrise. There's a sunset. Everything is in order. And what we need to understand is that you know, God created that. That represents Him. He's a God of order. We're people of order. Disorder will always cause you to go nuts. I mean, always. Down the road. It matters in math. It matters how you do the problem. There's a mathematical order. 3 plus 4 times 5 is 35. Unless you do it in a different order. If you do 4 times 5 plus 3, it's 23. Order matters. And if you're a math major, you know that's not even a question. Well, if you're a fifth grader, it does. Because you got to know what order to put it in. Otherwise, you got the wrong order. And you come up, you know, I could make an argument for each of these answers. I'm wrong, though, on one of them. But I can make an argument for it. That's how it is in life. I think I hear people making arguments for their lives. And yet you're going, that doesn't work. Yeah, but it does. No, it doesn't, really. It doesn't work. Why? Because you did it in the wrong order. That's why. And hopefully we'll be able to see that. What I want to talk about today is really happiness precedes success. In other words, most of you will live your lives and you'll think, if I'm successful, I'll be happy. No, no, no. You need to be happy now, and success will take care of itself. See, that's a hard thing. In your mind, some of you are thinking, I'll be fine one day if I get married and I have this happen. I go to school, I get this. See, then I'll be happy. No, you need to be happy now. And what happens then will take care of itself. If you get that out of order, you know what's going to happen? You're going to seek that stuff so you can be happy. And when it doesn't happen, what's going to happen? You're not going to be happy. Because you haven't gotten it. There's so many things that are out of your control. You might say, some of you might say, well, one day I want to get married, I want to have kids. What if you don't get married? What if you don't have kids? What if that doesn't happen? Can you be happy? If you've put that as a determining factor to your happiness, then you're going to be in trouble. Genuine people who are successful in life, have learned, the order is, I have learned to be content first, and then I find success. Because then it's a number of areas you can find success in. Otherwise, you've narrowed it down to something you may not be able to control. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. Albert Schweitzer. If you are doing things in order to be happy, you're doing them in the wrong order. Michael Nill. It doesn't work. Well, let me ask you, is life the pursuit of pleasure and comfort or power or significance or security? What is it the pursuit of? You guys are in school at various stages, most of you. What are you pursuing? Why? I mean, why go to school? I asked that all my life when I was in school. My dad said, because I told you, so I had to go. But why go to school? What is it going to benefit you? What are we seeking in life? Do you want a job where you can just get a lot of time off and sit and watch video games? What are you seeking? Are you seeking power? Do you think that one day if you get a position of authority that now you're okay? Now that's cool. Or are you seeking significance? I want to walk and everybody know my name and everybody is that what you seek? Do you seek security? You see, if you're pursuing these things, it's out of order as well. These things are not things you pursue. These things are fruits in life. Pleasure comes from actually living life the way it was meant to be. So first you got to find out how life was meant to be. Then you live that way. Then you get the pleasure. Power comes from those who don't have power. The Bible tells us when I'm weak, I'm what? God knows what he's talking about. Significance comes from those who don't seek significance. Why? Because it's a gift. Same with security. See, there's an order here how things happen. And what Satan's really been clever at is putting it out of order, which puts it out of reach. And people keep trying to get there and they don't get there and they're frustrated. The question simply is, what is life about? Is it about me? Is it about God? Is it about others? Now, since most of you grew up in the church, you know the answer to that one. The thing I've been asking, though, what is it really about? That's the real question. Because somehow we have figured out how to make it about us while we make it look about God. Parents make it look about children when they're making it about themselves. So, I mean, we're really good at making it look a certain way. The question you have to really answer is what is life really? What am I really looking for? And if you're looking for something down here to make you happy or content, that's where you're in trouble. And that's what I want to talk about, the order of that today. Now, let's get into some verses in Philippians. We have to understand about contentment or happiness and what the Bible says about it. Because if you're pursuing that, which is a byproduct and you can't pursue it, you're going to be in trouble. So let's take a look at it. Not that I'm speaking, this is the Apostle Paul, not that I'm speaking of being in need. For I have learned, twice in there I have it outlined. I have learned, I have learned, I have learned, I have learned. Sometimes someone will come to me and say, boy, you're pretty smart or something. I go, you know what, I'm just experienced. And I would use this, I have learned something. If you're my age already, you have walked through many doors. You have been down many paths and you've seen many things. That does not make you brilliant. It just makes you old. And it also gives you experience. So you see something over and over and over again. You go, this is what's going to happen. And if you haven't seen it, you go, that's brilliant. How did you know that? Because I've seen it like 1,000 times. It does not mean anything other than experience. That's why the Bible is very clear that you should have people in your life that are older, that love God, that you can talk to. Why? Because it's not that they know everything, believe me, but they probably have experienced everything you're going through. You know, in life, I've experienced not being married, being married. I've experienced, being engaged and thinking about, asking someone to marry me. And I've experienced being dumped by my current wife like 5 times. I've experienced that. I've experienced, I have experiences. Now, it doesn't make me smart. It just means I already did that. Now, what happens is I get to take those experiences and use them for something. I can just bury them, or I can give them to you. And what I found is if you could take the experiences that somebody has and hear them, you could advance many years over your peers. I have always been ahead in general of my age group in responsibility. Why? Because when I was in sixth grade here, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to feed the horses. I had responsibility early in life. I hung around old people who were serving God. So what did that make me do? I started to gain from their experience. So I all of a sudden leapfrogged my peers in experience. And at 25 years old, I was in charge of this place. Figure on, you're awful young. Not in experience. Why? Because, see, what most people experience in life, they don't learn this stuff because they're not hanging around the right people, they're not getting the right experiences. What they're doing is they have experienced video games and movies and the pretend world. And Satan goes, I love that. But there are some who have experienced things and they learn. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned. Now, if anybody could speak a little bit of being in need, the Apostle Paul could have. I don't know that many people who would do what he did. Now, he went out and obviously made tents so that he could minister. It was so important for him to minister. You know, he went out and took care of the needs himself. Now, it's a little different culture there, and I don't understand everything cultural-wise. I don't. But I do understand this, that there may be some things here that we don't grasp that other people grasp in their day. For example, there was a very high payback thing that went on back there. For example, if I helped Maddie, all right, let's say Maddie went on a mission thing and I helped Maddie, in their day, Maddie would be obligated to me. So if I had a need, if I knew where she lived, and I helped her once, and I had a need, I'd show up with my suitcases and go, you're going to take care of me now. Why? Because it's a payback. And there could have been some of that with the Apostle Paul saying, I don't want anything, because he was trying to be free not to have that. And that was a cultural norm back then. If you helped one person at another time, and still in some other countries, that's how it works. If you help somebody, they expect you to help them if they have a need as well. Even if it was a remote time or remote relative or something. So the Apostle Paul was very careful to not get himself in a position where he had to keep taking himself off of the job by obligating himself to somebody. And you've heard that. You don't want to be obligated to somebody else financially, that kind of thing. Well, it had to do with a bigger picture, actually. So in our culture, we don't necessarily have that. If somebody helps you at some time, you don't necessarily move in with them when you need to. So it's a little different. But the Apostle Paul is saying, not that I'm speaking of being in need. He's not doing that. Is he not speaking of being in need because there isn't a need? No. Why isn't he speaking of being in need? Because I've learned that in whatever situation, I am to be content. I am not telling you that I have a need. He didn't say he didn't have one. I'm just not telling you I have one. Why? Because I have learned to be okay wherever I'm at. How do you get there? See, what I'm saying is you need that before you're a success. It's not that if I have this and this and this, I'm a success. You need this if you're going to be a success. This comes first. That other stuff is later. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. You know, he puts plenty, a lot, in the same category as hunger. Well, you and I might not do that. Why does he do that? Because he's learned. Do you know if you have a lot of money, that's dangerous? If you have a little money, it could be dangerous. If you have a little money, you could be saying, if I had more. If you had a lot of money, it's like you think you own the world. Either one of those isn't going to work out well. But he says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I have learned both ends of the scale. The secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Now, some people think, yeah, well, that's it. I'll just be indifferent to everything. That's not what it teaches. Indifference or stupidity is not what this teaches. Oh, well, fatalism, I can't do anything. So I'll just accept the way it is. No. You know, there's some people that I've talked to that basically said, well, I just can't do anything about the way I am. Yes, you can. You really can. There are some things you can't do anything about. And what you have to understand is very simple. If you're going to say, if you're going to make a statement like this, if you're going to say, I've learned that whatever situation I'm in, that has to come from something you understand in your heart. I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. If you're disappointed with God, you don't know him. If you're angry with God, you don't know him. If you don't want to live for him, you don't know him. If you want to disobey him, you don't know him. Notice it always goes back to this one thing. You don't know him. If you are struggling at all with purpose in life, you need to spend time getting to know God. Right? That'll straighten out like everything. And if you don't do that, there are no answers for you. See, that's the first step. It's kind of like when somebody is not a believer, what do you talk to them about? Creation versus evolution? I don't think so. You talk to them about why the heathen are lost or not lost? I don't think so. Why? Because that's way down the road in the discussion. They can't understand the things of God, not being in God's family, not having the Holy Spirit. They can't do that. We need to discuss that stuff with them. Now, they may bring it up, and you may. I used to watch my dad. He wouldn't run from those discussions, but he was really clever just bringing them back to Jesus. Who is Jesus? Because we understand something. There's an order that things happen. Can you come to God? Can you be in God's family without understanding that you're sinful? No. So what comes first? You need to know that you're sinful. Then you can accept the mercy of God and the grace of God. If you think you're not, then how are you going to get there? So God convicts us. He has learned the secret. It's not indifference, though. It's not stupidity. It's not fatalism. It's not that the Apostle Paul is saying, whatever, just happens. You know, sometimes we as Christians are not prepared for God to use us because we have learned not to be content, but to be passive. I hope sin bothers you. I hope sin is something that grabs you and says, I hate that stuff because it ruins life. It doesn't really. A lot of times the Christians like to play with it because they think it doesn't ruin life. They think they're missing out on something. Right? Because they're chasing happiness in the wrong order. They think if I had this, I'd be better. No, you need to be fine right now. How can you be fine right now? How in the world... Well, take a look at 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Interesting. For we brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. I'm not sure it's much clearer. You know, I would love to go through the Bible and just take verses that I think Americans avoid and or just disregard. See, godliness, being like God with contentment. Here's the deal. If you are really a believer, you have a position. What is my position? I am a child of God. That's my position. I am a child of Richard and Joyce Wager. Position. I am a child of God. It's my Heavenly Father. What does that mean? That means somebody's in charge and it's not me. That means somebody is older than me, smarter than me, loves me, in charge. I can trust them. That means that there's nothing that touches me that hasn't gone through him first. Nothing. That means that I can relax knowing who's in charge and knowing that in the end it works. And you go, I'm not there. You do not know God yet. Your challenge has to be to get to know God first. Not to seek happiness or fulfillment first. Get to know God first. Put it in the right order. Because as you know him, what happens is you can begin to listen to him. And as you listen to him, because you know him, you will find that the contentment in your life is something that is worth far more than money. Do you realize that there are people today that are totally satisfied with life? I am actually totally satisfied with life. I just love my life. There is nothing you could get. You could, if you said, here's $5 million, I would say, good, I got $4 million here at camp ideas. And we'll put $1 million in the bank and help poor kids come to camp. So you don't want any of that yourself. I'm really, you know, I don't think there's a richer person in the world than I am. It's not that I have a big house. I do have a 25-year-old four-wheeler. But man, it runs nice. And it was given to me. You know how many, I have a Heavenly Father who takes care of me, and where I am today, He put me. And I can believe that that's a good spot. Now, that does not, go back the bus up, that doesn't mean I can be passive, indifferent. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, I need to be fired up about certain things. I'm wearing a bracelet that says Stoffel Strong, the father and daughter that got killed on the bridge in Neenah. Some of you know that a lot of the kids from that school will be up here next week in a camp. If that doesn't bother you, that some godless guy went out on a bridge one day and took a gun and just gunned down innocent people, if that doesn't bother you, there's something wrong with you. That's why I told the kids, by the way, I said, you know what, if you love God, there's a certain thing, you can't watch people blow people away. I wouldn't ever say this at the school or anything else, but do you know that I think if that was a movie, many of Christians would be watching it and be entertained by it? But it was real life, unfortunately. And people got killed who were innocent. See, you can tell I'm not passive about that. You know why I'm not passive about it? Because if the gunman knew God, if he was walking with God and listening to God, he wouldn't have killed innocent people that day. I know that. But he didn't. And he killed innocent people. You say, well, God could have stopped him. He sure could have. But see, you don't know God. He allows people to make choices, and your choices will have consequences on yourself and the people around you. He lets that happen right now. It's not God who pulled the trigger. It was this man. If you know anything about those who got killed, man, I believe that God prepared those two to go to be with him early. See, we don't see the other side of it, but I will promise you this, that God, the God I know, he was right there on that bridge that day. And those people that loved him that got killed, they were fine. Oh, not physically, they were gone. But we do know that before the man died, he said something to the effect, to forgive the killer, looked at the killer and said, I forgive you. And that doesn't come out accidentally. You see, he had a father. And he could trust his father. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness with a bunch of money, godliness with all kinds of stuff, godliness with being popular, godliness with, that's not what it says. See, I need to be content with who I am. I was talking with one of the football coaches at Wheaton was up here last week, and we were talking about it, and he was asking about my last days there because he's the guy that actually took my spot when I got hurt, not the next game, but a couple games afterwards. And I said, yeah, I walked away from it. And I filled him in on some details he didn't know. And what he realized is that you actually walked away from it? You could have played? Well, technically I could have played. But I really felt my time playing was done because of that injury and because of the options I had. And I shared a conversation I had with my head coach with him. You know what? If you know my life and you've heard me speak, football was important to me. But I walked away from it one day. Right? It's not what gave me content. And it never has. It never will. Do I enjoy it? Of course I enjoy it. See, there's the dilemma for you. You think you can't get excited about something, enjoy something. Yeah, but you can walk from it too. And you need to. Why? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness plus being what you want and doing what you want and getting what you want. Contentment is saying, God, I'm your child. You provide for me as you see fit. You give me what I need and what I don't need. I am okay in the position you put me. See, if you know God, that's how you live. If you don't know God, you got to have the right job, the right money. You got to have all the right stuff. You got to have the right look. You got to have the right prestige. You got to have the right family. You got to have the right spouse. If you don't know God, all that stuff is what you live for. See, somebody who's content can say, I've done my best. One of the analogies I use in football all the time is you got to play with the team that's on the field. It's a simple analogy. You could do it in baseball or soccer or anything else. You get somebody get hurt, somebody else comes in, you got to play with them. You say, well, it's not full strength. Yes, it is. We're playing with 11 people and we're full strength. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You can never play with people who aren't on the field. It doesn't work. You can only play with those who you can suit up. What does that mean? That's what it means. So are you content with that? Sure. These guys can't play. These guys can. That's what we've got. We either win or lose with them. In life, God put me in a certain place. And I say, well, somebody better could be there. No doubt. I'm here right now. And when I leave, somebody else will be here. And the game will go on. And while I'm here, I could be healthy or sick or whatever. See, I have to learn that it is my Father that's in charge. See, he's the one that keeps people healthy or sick. He's the one that takes care of things. And I trust him. My job is to represent him well, to glorify him. See, sin keeps me from that, so I hate sin. There's none of you that'll be okay if you live in sin, because the Bible tells us that for all have sinned, all of us, and we fall short of the glory of God, or showing people who God is, because that's the glorification. When you glorify God, you're showing people who he is. And we can't show him who he is when we're self-centered. Can't do that. You can't show him who he is when you're blaming circumstances for things. You know, I very seldom talk about problems, actually. It's not that I don't see them. I just don't talk about them. Why? I use the word opportunity instead. There's always an opportunity. When the shooting took place, and I talked to my daughter, who was her teacher, the girl that got killed was her teacher last year, and I called her, and she's my daughter. I'm her dad. She's positionally my daughter. And she may be 32 years old, an adult, but she's still my daughter. And I knew that I would be taking a trip down there to talk to her. Why? Because she's my daughter. And I needed to make sure she was okay. You see, what happens is you begin to understand. You are never satisfied with a guy going on a bridge shooting people. But you can learn contentment in any situation. And that's what's hard for us to grasp. See, people who are seeking first happiness miss out on the idea of pain that causes fulfillment and happiness. Some of you will grasp this as you have relationships. Some of you have already had some very rough relationships and you built walls up around you. Because you say, the relationships I've been in are very painful, so I'm not. So I build walls. Well, they are painful. That's part of relationships. There is no doubt, if you're going to be in a relationship, there's going to be pain involved. You know, one day, Linda or I will die probably first, and one of us will have to watch that. That isn't going to be fun. So I should have never got married in the first place. No, that would have been dumb. See, you enjoy what God gives you, knowing that there will be pain involved. Knowing that there's pain involved is part of the process. You see, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing, anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, it's the rich who fall into temptation, into a snare. See, sometimes we don't even get it. You know what a snare is? We used to have snare lines up here. They still do. Some unsuspecting animal walking along a path that always walks along, and all of a sudden, snap, in a trap. And they can't get out. You see, what Satan is really good at is that right there, snaring us, getting us in a trap. See, people have spent their whole life, some people have spent their whole life seeking happiness. And they get to a certain age and they have a midlife crisis, realizing they haven't found it. Number one demographic, if that's the right word, for suicide are men, middle-aged men. Some of it has to do with they know how to use the weapons right. Some of it has to do with whatever. But the bottom line really is, they reach a point where they realize, I've been chasing this dream. There is no answer. I am so empty. Yeah, you got it out of order. You were never meant to chase happiness. You were meant to chase God. And if you're going to get that out of order, you're going to be a miserable wreck by the time you're 50 years old. You're going to realize it doesn't work. Oh, some don't. You know what they do? They say, well, then I must have married wrong. So they divorce and they find somebody else. I must have switched jobs. And that's the midlife crisis you've seen people go through. It's like, I'm just switching everything up. Why? I didn't find it yet. No, because you got out of order. You're never going to find it. The truth of the matter is, those who love God, walk with Him, enjoy their position, they do that first, then the rest of it takes care of itself. The happiness will come. Otherwise, looking at these other things will be a snare. And the thing about a snare is, you can go over that trail many times. So you pursue that money many times. But one day it goes, snap, gotcha. And you might say, well, I'll survive the snare. I've seen animals that survive a snare. It's not pretty. There will be animals who get in a snare, and they're so dedicated to get out of it, they'll chew their leg off. And the rest of their life, they have three legs instead of four. Oh, I survived the snare. Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? How about not going that route in the first place? The rich fall into temptation, into many senseless, and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. See, this is Satan's tactic for destroying you. Getting it out of order, getting you to think that happiness is what you have to pursue. And for the love of money, this is the context for that verse. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some people have wandered away from the faith. Do you know that there are people that have left the faith because they love money, power, position, and they're seeking this happiness? And they've left over that. Stuff that when they die, gone. Stays here. And they have given up an eternal God for it. Fools. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Look, the pain they have, they deserve. Why? Because they've abandoned God. And they've pursued happiness. You might say, so I shouldn't pursue happiness. But, you know, any more than you should pursue an apple if you're an apple tree. I mean, if you want apples, work the soil, get things absorbing right, and the apples will be automatic. Get it in the right order. You need to first and foremost know God, love Him. That's who you seek. When you seek Him, everything gets into context then. And it says here, you came into this world with nothing. How are you going to leave? With nothing. So what do you got when you leave? Nothing. Except God. So what if you've ignored Him your whole life? Then you've got nothing. When I die, I will leave with nothing. Come and check. If my wife has a viewing, come and check. My hands will have nothing in them. But I will have God. So I have lost everything here, but gained God for eternity. There are those that will die that lose everything here and have nothing there. Whoa, that's out of order. By the way, if you come over to my house, you'll see I have a lot of junk. It's not that God doesn't give you junk. It's just, it's not going to bring you happiness. It's not what you seek. You seek Him. And then the stuff is in context. And you can actually enjoy the stuff. You can actually enjoy it. You can actually enjoy people. You can actually hate sin. We'll continue with this tomorrow. I get to do a couple days in a row. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for your word. We ask that you continue to bless it as we look into it and try and understand it. In Jesus' name, amen.